I hope everyone had a nice break, and welcome back to the end of the world. So as you know, World War III has started. The United States and Israel have started to attack Iran. And we are now in the fourth day of this war. And we can expect this war to last for many weeks, possibly also for many years. But I promise you that after this war is done, the world will never be the same again. So what we will do these next few weeks is use game theory and understand and analyze the geopolitical situation. And so I'm going to teach you the ideas, the theories, the techniques to understand the world around you and make predictions. And we can know if our analysis is correct because all this is happening in real time. And so we can test it against reality. All right, so let's go over some basic facts about what's happened so far. So in the early morning of Saturday, in Tehran, the Israelis and Americans launched a decapitation strike against the Ayatollah Khamenei, who is the supreme leader of Iran. Now, there are arguments and disputes about as to what happened. The Americans and Israelis said that they had real intelligence about where the leader was, and so they sent airplanes to just bomb the crap out of the place. They also had a spy who was able to record the body of the dead Ayatollah, and then this was announced. At first, the Iranians denied this, and the Iranians insisted he was still alive. But eventually, state media admitted that he did die in the airstrike. But then what they also said is that the Ayatollah, he's 86 years old, and he chose to die. He could have gone to Moscow, but instead he chose to stay in Tehran and die for his people. But not only that, but he died along many of his relatives. He died along with his daughter, his son-in-law, his grandchildren. So many of the family died in this assault. Also, there's been reporting that he had prostate cancer. Okay, so he was going to die fairly soon as well. So what you need to understand first about the war is that even though the Americans and the Israelis claim great success in decapitating the leadership of the Iranians, from the Iranian perspective, this is a martyrdom. Martyrdom, okay? And so the religion of the Iranians is called Shia, Muslim. And this is different from Sunni Muslim. So Sunnis are the majority. They're about 9% of all Muslims in the world. The Shia have always been the minority. And as such, they've always been persecuted. So in the Shia faith, the core value, the force that binds everyone together and gives them purpose and meaning in life, that galvanizes them into action, is the idea of martyrdom, which forces jihad. You sacrifice yourself for your religion, sacrifice yourself for the common good. So think of the death of Khamenei as a sacrifice, a self-sacrifice, in order to motivate the Iranians in this war, okay? So that's the first thing you need to understand. That for the Iranians, this is not a geopolitical war. This is not an economic war. This is not a war of resistance. This is a jihad. Okay? It's a war against the great Satan to avenge their leader. They will fight to the death. All right? That's number one. Number two is this. Also that morning when the Ayatollah was killed, the Israelis struck a school in the south of Tehran, killing about 150 school children. These are girls in primary school. And again, there's a lot of debate and argument as to what happened. The Israelis said that, first of all, the school was next to a military base. We were targeting the military base. And second of all, it wasn't us which struck the school. It was a air defense missile that went off course. Okay? And the Iranians insisted, no, the Israelis purposefully attacked the school to kill the school children. And then you're like, why would the Israelis do that? But then these few years, Well, we've seen what they've done in Gaza, in Palestine, to the Palestinians. And it's pretty consistent what the Israelis have been doing. All right? So this action against the Israelis, it's meant to show to themselves and the world that we are now all in. Okay? We've made the sacrifice. We are now committed to this war, to winning this war at all costs. And this action has also provoked the Iranian people to resist with their full might, okay? So I want you to keep this in mind. And again, we don't have complete evidence that it's the Israelis who did this, but given past actions from the Israelis, this is fairly consistent with what they've done, okay? So we can assume that this is something the Israelis did. Why they did this, what the purpose is something we will discuss as we move on, okay? It's very complicated. Next, I want to show you this. This is Dubai. And Dubai is considered one of the wealthiest, safest cities in the world. There are thousands, tens of thousands of Westerners who move to Dubai because it's clean, you don't pay any taxes, you make a lot of money, and there are great restaurants. And this is really the economic model of Dubai. It's one of the GCC countries, okay? The Gulf coastal countries. And for the longest time, Dubai had a really good deal because they were under the protection of the American military. So they didn't have to pay for defense. And then they were in the Middle East, which is the oil producing center of the world. And so they focus on aviation. They focus on logistics. They focus on finance, on tourism. They became extremely wealthy, right? I'm not sure if you've taken Emirates, one of the best airlines in the world. So their airport, Dubai Airport, is the busiest in the world. And Dubai, for the longest time, was flourishing under American protection. And Dubai said to the world, listen, we're like Switzerland. We're neutral. We don't want any involvement in any wars. We're here just to take care of our citizens, to make sure everyone has a good time, to make money. And then right after the war started, the Iranians attacked the GCC, okay? Dubai, Abu Dhabi, Bahrain, Qatar, Kuwait, they attacked these places. And these places were like, what's going on? We're neutral, man. We're not involved in this war. And the airport was shut down in Dubai. At one point, the rich people in Dubai were willing to pay about $250,000 just to get on a plane and get out of there. Okay? So, the reality is this. For the longest time, Dubai had a reputation for being safe, and that's why people moved their money there. Guess what, guys? After what the Iranians did, it's dead. Dubai as a city, in the long term, it is dead. Because you're a wealthy Westerner, you're not gonna move to a place where it could be attacked anytime by the Iranians. You might move to Singapore, you might move to Hong Kong, Japan, South America, but you're not moving to Dubai, okay? So the big question for us is, why did the Iranians do this? It was the Israelis and Americans who attacked you. Why go after the GCC? All right? And not only that, but they're escalating the attacks against the GCC. So this is something that we will look at very closely today. Well, the short answer is because these places, even though they pretend to be neutral, they house the American military. They allow the Israelis and the Americans to use their airspace to attack Iran from. All right? So this is Bahrain. Now, Bahrain is interesting, okay? Because I want you guys to remember this. But Bahrain will probably be one of the major centers of this conflict. Because, first of all, this is the American Fifth Fleet, right? This is their naval base in the Middle East. And as you can see, the Iranians are attacking it with missiles. And it's being blown up. Bahrain is interesting because it has about 50% or even more, okay, Shia, which is the religion of the Iranians. But the people in charge are the Sunnis. And so what makes this strike really important from our perspective is, first of all, not only are the Iranians attacking U.S. military assets, not only are they destroying the economies of the GCC, but they're also trying to ignite a religious war, right? Because you're Shia, you're loyal to the Ayatollah. And if he's dead, then you must, as a religious obligation, now commit jihad against your enemies. And it's no different in other religions where, listen, if you want to kill the Pope, the Catholics would be really angry at you and they would want to kill you, right? So now you have the Shia who will probably eventually arise, creating a revolution in Bahrain, okay? So I think Bahrain will be the first to fall. Dubai will probably go bankrupt, okay? But in the long term, we can expect the entire GCC area, including Saudi Arabia, to eventually collapse, okay? And so this is something we'll use game theory to understand. All right, let's continue. So we will know how this war develops just based on geography, okay? So this is a map. And this map, even if you don't really know the war, even if you don't know the participants, even if you don't know the weaponry, this map will tell you exactly how this war will progress. All right, so some certain things to keep in mind about this map. This is what we call this area, okay? Really small, about, it's 33 kilometers wide, okay? People can swim across it. It's really, really narrow, okay? This small area, guys, it's called the Strait of Hormuz. All right? And it's important because it's really the center of the world. This one area is the nexus, the pivot of the world. Let me explain why. First of all, from the GCC, you have 20% of all the world's oil flowing through this narrow strait. Where does it go, guys? It goes to Asia, India, Pakistan, South Korea, China, Japan. India depends on 60% of its oil from this area. China depends on 40%. Japan, 75%. Prime Minister Takeuchi of Japan has said that, listen, if the Strait of Hormuz closes, we'll run out of oil in about 8-9 months. The entire Japanese economy would collapse in 8-9 months if the Strait of Hormuz were to close. And guess what? The Iranians have closed the Strait of Hormuz. Okay? So we can expect that the entire global economy will suffer greatly over the next few months. All right? So that's point number one. Point number two is, okay, so the GCC sends oil across the Strait of Hormuz, and what do they get back in return? Food, guys. All right, so people don't appreciate the GCC, but it is really the linchpin of the American Empire. Because what is the American Empire? The American Empire is the petrodollar, all right? The idea of the petrodollar is this. The US dollar is worth nothing. It's only valuable if people want it. But the GCC says that if you want oil from us, you have to pay us in US dollars. Okay? Then that is the basis of the value of the US dollar. So, if the GCC collapses, the American economy and the American empire both collapse at the same time. The problem, though, is the GCC is an artificial construct of empire. It does not exist naturally. Why? Because there's no food. That's no oil, no water. Okay, guys? No food, no water. So these cities are able to grow in the millions because of all these petrol dollars flowing in. If you close off the Strait of Hormuz, there's no food coming in. Right? They're all going to starve. How much food does the GCC get from overseas? 80%. 80% of all the food it consumes comes from overseas, that it imports. It doesn't grow by itself, it imports. Alright? So the Strait of Hormuz is really key. And again, the Iranians will close it in order to strangle the global economy and therefore bankrupt the American Empire. Alright? Second thing you will notice is these mountains. These mountains is what we call Iran. Alright, this is Iran. This is GCC. Okay, this is not a fair matchup, right? Because these are mountains. And what can you do in mountains? Well, you can hide rocket bases. You can hide drone bases. You can hide missiles. And that's the entire Iranian offensive strategy, all right? From here, they can hide missiles and drones from which to attack the GCC. And what are they attacking? They're attacking three things, right? They're attacking American military bases. American military bases. That's number one. Okay. Is it possible for the Americans to defend against these attacks? The answer is no. They're not. It's not. It's the silliest thing in the world. You have all these bases in the Middle East, but you cannot defend them against the Iranians. That's kind of strange. Okay, but that's number one. Number two is oil and energy. How hard is it to blow up an oil field with a drone? Not hard at all. Can you defend these oil fields? No, you cannot. All right. Number three, and this most important, is water. Okay. You guys don't know this, but the GCC has little access to fresh water. So the only way that it can produce water is what we call desalination plants. Okay. These factories that take salt water and then through electrical chemical process, turn it into fresh water for the population to use. 60% of the water supply in the GCC comes from desalination plants, okay? 60%. Is it hard to blow up a desalination plant using a drone? The answer is, it's very easy. You understand? Okay? So you have this absurd situation where Iran is a mountain fortress where it can hide its offensive capacity, and the GCC, it's just this desert, this flat desert, and it is exposed to attack, and there's nothing it can do about it, okay? So at any point in this war, the Iranians can choose to just destroy the entire GCC, and there's nothing that anyone can do about it. Okay, but Iran also has a weakness, okay? And this is fundamental. So Iran also has a water problem, okay? So for the longest time, they suffered a drought issue. Okay, just climate change. And so what the plan of the Israelis and Americans is destroy the water supply of the Iranians. Because the fortress, it is a mountain fortress, but it can also be a mountain prison as well, where people are trapped inside with no access to water. Okay, so what we're going to see right now, we're already seeing attacks on civilian infrastructure, hospitals. In the future, you'll see attacks on water supply, on dams, on reservoirs, on power plants. The point, the idea is to make Iran so inhabitable that the people will have to rebel against the people, or there'll be a refugee crisis in Iran. Okay? So as you can see from this map, this war, it is the end of the world. Okay? Both sides have the potential to destroy each other. It's really a question of how far do they want to go. Alright? We can also say this is almost a game of chicken. Okay? We can blow each other up. How far do you want to go? And the problem is this. The problem is that the Iranians are Shia, which believes in martyrdom. And you've killed the religious leader, the Ayatollah Khamenei. So they're willing to go very, very far. The GCC countries are Muslim, but they're materialistic. They love money. And also, most of the population are expatriates, foreigners. 90% of Dubai are foreigners. Guess what's going to happen if they suffer? They're going to run away. Okay? So this is not a fair matchup. The big question that people have is, first of all, are the Americans going to use ground troops? Because the only way that you can defeat Iran is by using ground troops, okay? That's a big question we'll look at over the next few weeks. Will America send its army, 500,000, 2 million soldiers, to topple the government? Okay, that's question number one. Question number two, nuclear weapons. If you lose a war, would you choose to use nuclear weapons? Okay, that's another big question that we have, okay? Now, another big question that we have is who gets involved? Because this situation is so dire that Europe, okay, specifically Germany, France, and Britain are talking about entering this war. And guess what? If that happens, it is possible that Russia and China will also enter this war on the side of the Iranians. This is World War III, okay? Because of the importance of the Strait of Hormuz, because of the importance of the Middle East, everyone has to get involved at some point. And we're going to use game theory to really try to understand what's happening on the ground and where this could lead us. Okay? All right. You guys understand? All right. Let's continue. Okay, so again, there are American bases all over the Middle East. And originally, these bases were established to protect them from basically their own people, okay? These are monarchies that were imposed on these nations by the Anglo-American Empire. The British first, and then the Americans came to support these monarchies. And so they provide defense. But then you're like, wait a minute here. I mean, didn't we just say that these American bases can actually defend these people, that they're exposed? And the answer is, yes, that's true. But remember that the American military was built during the Cold War. Okay? And the Cold War was a war between the Soviet Union and America. And so the Cold War was defined by something called MAD, Mutually Assured Destruction, because both had nuclear weapons, okay? So they didn't really go to war against each other. And so in other words, these bases aren't really meant to defend these nations from other enemies. They're really meant to impose American authority in the Middle East, okay? And it's the idea of this. It's the idea that empire, it is really a image. It is a hallucination. It's just an idea. Empire is it's an aura of invincibility and invisibility, okay? If you fear it, then you obey it. But it's not really designed to fight a war, okay? And so that's why we have this absurd situation. And because there are so many bases in the GCC, that gives the Iranians the perfect pretext to attack them in order to destroy the GCC economy, which will destroy the American empire, right? All right, so this is how the war is shaping out, okay? So the red is the Israelis and the Americans, the yellow are the Iranians. And as you can see, the Iranians are attacking everywhere, primarily Israel, okay? But also, as you can see, a lot of focus on Bahrain and Qatar. And again, the intention is to destabilize the economy and the government, okay? It's to try to get as much instability as possible, all right? Okay, and as you can see, the Americans and the Israelis are focused on Tehran. And so the Americans and the Israelis use something we call shock and awe. And the very idea of shock and awe is you decapitate the enemy. You cut off the head, the body will fall down, okay? The problem, though, is, again, the Iranians see this as a religious war. And so the Iranians have announced total war. Okay? And so what this means is that right now, command and control in Iran is decentralized. There's no one person telling everyone what to do. Every region has its own orders, has its own strategy. And so if you knock out Tehran, everyone else keeps on going. So if you take off the head, it doesn't change anything. Okay? But unfortunately, the Israelis and Americans use this as a military doctrine. Military doctrine just means how you design your military for what purpose. And so, even though the Americans seem like an invincible army, they are not equipped to fight a 21st century war against drones, against desalinization, against religious fanatics. Okay, they're just not. Right? But unfortunately, because of military doctrine, they're going to keep on attacking Tehran. Now, the great irony of all this is that the Iranians who would be most supportive of you, of regime change, are actually in the cities. Because they are educated, they're progressive. The people who are most fundamentally against you, will fight you to the death, are religious fanatics, the Shia militants, living in the rural areas. Okay? So, this is a really silly thing where you are actually destroying those who will most likely support you, and you're leaving alone those who are most likely to commit jihad against you. Alright? Any questions so far, guys? Are you clear? Alright. So another idea that I want you guys to understand is the idea of asymmetry. Asymmetry. Alright, so what is asymmetry? Asymmetry means that the two sides are choosing to fight different wars using different techniques because one is much stronger than the other, okay? America is a great empire. It has unlimited resources. It has the USD. It controls the world, right? Iran is a country that has been under economic sanctions for the past 45 years. It's poor. Its technology is very limited, okay? But as we learn in this class, actually, those nations that are poor actually have more energy. They're more open and they're more cohesive. All right, so let me give an example. This is what we call the Shahad drones. Each of these drones costs $50,000 at most, okay? At most. It can go as cheap as $35,000. But one of them is $50,000. As you can see, you can fit a lot of these drones to a truck that can go anywhere in Iran. And they can hide anywhere. All right? So the thing to understand is, first of all, these drones are cheap. They're easy to make. They make about 500 a day. Okay? And estimates are about there's 80,000 right now that the Iranians have. So they can go on for a long, long time. Okay? And one of these drones, again, can knock out a desalination plant. It can knock out an oil field. It can knock out a hotel. It can do a lot of damage. Okay? And it's easily transportable. You can hide it anywhere. You can use it from anywhere, okay? And that's what the Iranians are using as an offensive weapon. And how do the Americans defend against this? They use something called a THAAD, right? Right, guys. This is what they use. THAAD. THAAD stands for Thermal High Altitude Air Defense. And they also have like Patriot systems. There's a lot, okay? The thing that you need to know about the system is it's really expensive. This missile, guys, costs $1 million. $1 million. So there's this $50,000 drone coming your way, and you throw $1 million missile at it, okay? And often these missiles miss, so you have to throw two or three missiles at it, okay? So you're spending $2 to $3 million on each $50,000 that the Iranians spend. That's kind of silly. Second thing you'll notice is that this thing is really big and really slow. And therefore, you can't really move it around. Therefore, it's pretty easy for the Iranians to spot where this is and attack it. And if one of these things blow up, that's a lot of money, guys. Okay? Then you're like, what? But this makes no sense. You know the Iranians have drones. They've had drones for like 10 years. You've also seen drones used in the Russia-Ukraine war to devastating effect. Why don't the Americans know this? Why did they prepare? Okay, and again, it has to do with military doctrine. Because military doctrine determines how you fight a war. It determines on your bureaucracy, and it determines how you spend your resources, okay? And unfortunately, the Americans are used to fighting something called the Cold War. right? In the Cold War, because you can actually fight the war. You can actually use, kill each other because then you people use nuclear weapons. The Cold War was about flexing. Flexing, okay? You see how big and powerful I am? Me! Okay, that's all it was. These weapon systems are designed to scare the crap out of you. They are designed to impress you. And as a result, they cost a lot of money, and they really don't do anything, all right? So that's the entire American military. It costs a lot, and it doesn't really do anything. And it's not resilient, it's not innovative. It's not open, all right? Also, the other thing I have to say this, okay, is if you look at the American military, it's corrupt. So this is really about corruption. So the Americans don't really care about winning a war. What they care about is spending as much money as possible because then they get a cut. It doesn't make sense, all right? And that's why the Americans are in a situation as they are. All right, let's continue. All right. So, something that people don't really talk about, but you need to understand, it's the water issue in the GCC, in the Middle East, in Iraq, all right? So, this is a map of the world. And if you are light blue, Brazil, Canada, you have nothing to worry about because you have a lot of water, a lot of fresh water, very little population, all right? So, 100%. Just means 100% water stress just means that you drink as much water as the environment produces. Okay? So you want to be below 100% to be sustainable. Ideally, you want to be at 10%. Okay? If it goes above 100%, it means that you are drinking more water, using more water than the environment actually produces. Okay? So you're putting stress on the environment. So 20%. Is really bad, right? Because you're using twice as much water as the environment produces. Guess what, guys? Look at the Middle East, okay? Egypt. 6,420%. Saudi Arabia. 883%. All right? Bahrain. Almost 4,000%. Dubai. 17,000%. All right? So water is a huge issue. Again, it doesn't matter if Iran kills American soldiers, destroys American military. It doesn't have to do that. All it has to do is destroy the desalination plants. And then the GCC is destroyed, okay? But it's also true that Iran has water issues. 72% is pretty bad, okay? So even though the Iranians could destroy the GCC much faster than the Americans could destroy Iran, Iran is still in trouble, okay? So let me give you an example of this. This is another map that shows you the issue of water scarcity, okay? And it's just basically the Middle East, okay? Their biggest issue in the future is water. Okay, and that's where the geopolitical tensions will arise in the future over water. India is also affected as well, okay? All right. So, let's look at the map, guys. This is called Lake Urmia in northern Iran. It's the sixth largest saltwater lake in the world, or it used to be. Okay, this is what it was in 1984. This is the shallow, this is the deep, okay? You guys see that? It's really big, right? 20 years later, guys, this is what it looks like. There's no more water here. You can walk from here over to there, okay? There's some water over here, but it's shallow now. That's how serious the water issue is in Iran. And that's the weak point that the Americans and the Israelis will attack. All right. They want to make sure that Iran has no access to fresh water, which will cause devastation in their nation. Okay, that's strategy number one. Strategy number two is this. This is a map of the different ethnic minorities in Iran. As you can see, it's a very diverse place. In the center are the Persians, but you also have 10 other groups as well. And in the borderlands, it's basically a different country, right? Like, these are basically different countries. And so these places have more common areas with their neighbors than they do with Iran. Okay, so the second weakness of Iran. The first is the water. The second is the ethnic makeup of the country. So the strategy of the Americans and the Israelis moving forward is to destroy Iran as a coherent nation state divided into ethnic enclaves and have them fight over water. That is the grand plan of the Israelis and the Americans, okay? All right, this is the vision where Persia is limited and then all these other places are sponsored by the Americans and the Israelis. They're given money, they're given weapons, they're given political support, and then this war will wage over water forever, okay? And this is how you destroy Iran and make sure Iran is no longer a viable threat to you. That is the plan of the Americans, okay? As you can see, it's a pretty evil plan, and that's why they have not announced it, right? Because if you announce it, you're like, why are you doing this? What did the Persians, what did the Iranians ever do to you to warrant you coming destroying their civilization? And the answer is nothing, right? So the Americans, Israelis, will never admit they're doing this. But if you look at the map of water supply, of ethnic tensions, this is the optimal game theory strategy for them to use against Iran. Okay, does that make sense? This is a long-term plan that they have in place. And it's all moving towards this plan. But now the question then is, how can the Iranians respond to this? And the answer is this. This is a map of the Muslim world, okay? So the light green are the Sunni people, okay? That's 90% of the entire Muslim population, about 2 billion people, okay? Then you have in dark green, the Shia. So as you can see, the main place of the Shia is Iran, okay? Iran is one of the few Shia nations in the world. But you can also see from this map that Shia are spread throughout the world, okay? And so the first thing that the Iranians want to do is create a jihad to unite all the Shia against the American empire, all right? So what they want to do is create an uprising. And it's already happening, guys. The Shia in Pakistan stormed the American embassy in Pakistan, and the Americans killed a lot of people, okay? The Shia have attacked the American embassy in Iraq. The American embassy are being attacked in a lot of places, right? So the first strategy is to create a international global jihad of the Shia against the American empire. And it's already happening. It will continue for a long, long term, long time, because the Americans have killed the Ali Khamenei, okay? And that requires vengeance. The other thing though is that it can unify the Muslim world, okay? If you look at this map, most of the Muslim world is actually run by dictatorships that are not popular at all, okay? And they're allowed to exist because of the American empire, right? You go to Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Algeria, these places, they're all run by clients of the American empire, right? So if you rally the people who hate their governments and you overthrow them, then that makes Iran the leader of the Islamic world. Not just the Shia world, but the Islamic world. And this creates something called Pax Islamica. That is the end goal, guys. Okay? If you do that, then you don't have to worry about the Americans and the Israelis anymore. Right? So the Israeli game plan, the American game plan, is to fracture Iran into ethnic enclaves, and they'll fight over water for the rest of their lives, and they'll all die. The Iranian game plan is to create a religious war, a crusade, that unifies the Shia people, that overthrows the American empire, and establishes something called the Pax Islamica. Alright? Alright. So, again, the key is the GCC. Alright? So, the game plan is this. You have to destroy the GCC. Why? Because the GCC is the linchpin of the American empire. So, what the GCC does is this. It sells oil, and then for US dollars. Where does it put US dollars? It puts US dollars into the American stock market. All right, so this is investments of the UAE, okay, Saudi Arabia, and Kuwait into the US financial markets. As you can see, from 2012 up to today, it's been exploding. All right, because the US financial markets is one of the safest places where you can put your money. The intention is this. The intention is, hey, if I cut off oil and these countries no longer have access to US dollars, they're forced to spend whatever resource they have on protecting themselves, okay? And then guess what happens? The stock market collapses. The stock market collapses. The stock market is the real growth engine of the US economy. The entire US economy collapses with it. All right. There are about maybe 7 companies in America that accounts for about a quarter of stock market growth. Okay, these seven companies, of course, are AI companies: Nvidia, Microsoft, Google, Apple. Okay, these are the companies, and then these companies are heavily invested in by the GCC nations. So if these nations are no longer able to invest in the stock market, these companies will collapse in value. And with that, that would lead to economic depression in America. It doesn't make sense. All right, so that is the situation for today. Today was just an overview, guys, okay? I know we covered a lot. I know there's a lot to take in, but over the next few weeks, we will explore each issue in depth and really understand what's really going on, okay? All right, so any questions, guys? Any questions about what we've just learned? Okay.
If other countries such as Italy, France, China, or Russia, they have also joined this war, like, what's the cause of they joined the war? Because of oil or those resources?
Okay. That's a great question, okay? So I don't want to spend too much time on this question because we will explore this question as we move along, okay? So the question is, what brings the world into this conflict? And the easy answer is just oil access, energy access, okay? They need to protect their energy supplies because remember, it's a very complicated situation because Europe is now fighting Russia. So Europe is not buying any oil resources, energy resources from Russia. Therefore, it depends a lot on the GCC. So the GCC is not providing them energy, then Europe will go bankrupt. Okay, so Europe needs to enter this war on behalf of the Americans. Okay, and then you have Russia, which cannot allow Iran to fall, because if Iran falls, then they'll come after Russia next. All right, China is actually neutral. China's okay with either scenario. But that's just the way that the Chinese system is set up. Okay, so we're going to explore this question as we move along. But it's a very complicated issue. All right? Okay? And each nation will have its own different strategic interests to consider. All right? And what we need to know, what we need to figure out is that this war in the Middle East is actually connected to the Ukraine war. And as we move along, I'll show you how these two things connect together. Any other questions, guys? Okay, great. So we'll continue this discussion on Thursday, okay?